champion who rule by intimidation.
Me, if you can survive, if I let you.
Taz would pick up guys nearly twice his size and drop them on their heads.
He is a human suplex machine.
Now he's bringing his no-nonsense New York swagger to the podcast world. This is Taz.
The mood is about to change.
The Human Podcast Machine.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
All right. Welcome, everybody, to HPM, the Human Podcast Machine. My name is Taz, and thank you for downloading and subscribing to this edition of the show. I always appreciate your support. Definitely the success of the show is rapidly growing. Thanks to you guys, because without you all, it don't happen. We know that. And obviously, thanks to my sponsors and advertisers also. I do appreciate them. And the thing I want to talk about is comedy. Comedy. That's what this particular episode of the Human Podcast Machine is basically going to exemplify. We are going to have the creator of the Jerky Boys and does voice work, did voice work for Family Guy, Johnny Brennan, of the fame Frank Rizzo or Sal Rosenberg, these Jerky Boy characters for years, prank calls that made a big success out of this cat. And you know, it's interesting because you would think, wow, that was so long ago. But you know what? It doesn't matter. This stuff on YouTube, the Jerky Boy stuff, is still alive and kicking. It's still hilarious stuff, timeless, as you hear us talk about in an interview. And you will hear Johnny Brennan, the creator, the guy himself. He's a witty, funny guy. He breaks in and out of character at times. It's great. I'm telling you, you can enjoy it. This is not a wrestling particular episode. So if you're looking for wrestling stuff, I apologize. It's not going to happen in this episode. But it's funny. So if you're a fan of the Jerky Boys, you will love this. If you're not a fan of the Jerky Boys or don't know them, you will learn about them and what they've done and what he's done. And being that, I want to, for those that aren't familiar with what Johnny Brennan and Frank Rizzo and Sal Rosenberg and Jack Torres and all these guys, all the characters he portrays, I want to play a little bit right now for you. Play a little bit of Frank Rizzo, one of the classic bits when he's asking for Brett Ware. Get Brett Ware, I said, when he's asking for Brett Ware. We're gonna play a little bit of that for those that are fans of it. You'll crack up. It'll bring you back in time. And for those that never heard it, bring you up to speed on what this guy Brennan does. And let me explain, there is some vulgar language, not just in these bits, these old school Jerky Boy bits, but throughout the interview. So if you're working and you listen to me, these podcasts in your office, you might want to tone it down a little bit or put your earbuds in or something like that, or headphones or whatever it is that you do to listen to stuff, or if you're in your car with your kids, might be good not to listen, you know, because there's some cuss words, as they say, throughout the interview and these bits. So just want to give that disclaimer to you guys. Nevertheless, it's extremely entertaining. So it's more or less, I guess, like a little bit of a rated R from a language or vulgarity perspective in this particular episode with my guest, Johnny Brennan. So let's take a listen to my man, Frank Rizzo.
One moment, please. Andy, may I help you?
Yeah, let me speak to Brett Ware.
Who's calling?
Is he in?
Yeah, who's calling?
Look, Jerky, I don't need to talk to you.
You don't need to talk to me?
Get Brett Ware, I said.
Hold on. He's upstairs repairing something. You want me to call you back?
Well, this is the super across the way.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to take care of some business for me, and I'm very angry at that little jerk. All right, now I'm going to break his fucking head.
So what do you want me to do? Get in touch with you where?
He knows what the fuck I'm talking about. And don't have me come down there for you either, tough guy. You tell him to see me.
Super across the street?
You got it, punk.
Okay, I'll tell him.
Oh my God, it never ends. The hilarity is off the chart. I can hear that thing every day and still laugh. It's just hysterical stuff. The Frank Rizzo, so brash, so sarcastic. We're going to get into where Frank Rizzo came from. Where in the crazy brain and mind of Johnny Brennan did this character Frank Rizzo come from that got everybody buzzing for years? Where did it come from? We're going to hear that from the horse's mouth himself, Johnny Brennan, in a little bit. Also, for those that heard of the Saul Rosenberg character, let's take a peek listen. Put our ear close to the phone and listen and go back in time to the Saul Rosenberg.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Yes, I bought glasses there. My name is Saul Rosenberg.
Yes?
And my eyes are going crazy.
Okay, let me pull your record card. Hold on, please.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Rosenberg, I don't have a record card on you. Where did you buy your glasses? Sure it was here?
Yes, I did. And do you wear glasses?
No, where did you buy them?
At your place then.
What address did you go to?
It's the one right in the city there. I don't quite remember.
Well, there's a lot in the city, and sometimes people get confused. I don't have a record card on you. How long ago did you buy it here?
About 4 days, and my eyes is going crazy.
And Mr. Rosenberg, I don't believe you bought it at this office because I'm the only one here. I don't wear glasses, and if it was 4 days ago, I would have remembered you. And I don't, and I don't have a record card on you. Did you go to the Empire State Building?
I went to the Empire State Building, and I can't see so good.
So you went to see Dr. Kim?
Yeah, but he's an asshole. I couldn't see so good from the Empire State Building.
Well, would you like to make an appointment to come in and see us?
I went to the observatory because of these glasses. I can't see, goddammit.
Okay, would you like to come in and see us?
Sure.
Okay. We're at 30 East 60th Street.
3578th Street. Okay.
No. We're at 30.
Okay.
East 60th Street.
All right. Should I bring all my glasses with me?
You need an examination.
And all my glasses?
Yeah, Mr. Rosenberg, do you need an examination?
Okay.
Do you need an examination?
All right.
Yeah, all right. You need an appointment.
Right, and I'll bring all my shoes and my glasses with me, so I have them.
Mr. Rosenberg.
Sure.
Do you want to see the ophthalmologist?
Right.
You need an appointment.
I'm sorry.
You need an appointment.
Okay.
Okay, hold on. I'll have my girl make an appointment for you to see the doctor. Okay, do you have the address?
Fantastic, then.
You have the address?
Yes.
What room?
I don't know, you say 3587?
No, 30 East 60th Street.
30 East 60th Street. Okay, thank you.
Oh, you need an appointment. Hold on.
Right.
Oh, God, I love it. All right, look, let's get to this interview on the other end of this break with Johnny Brennan, man, the guy doing all those voices you heard from the creator of the Jerky Boys himself, Johnny Brennan, will be here. So we'll be right back. Don't forget your shoes and your glasses, and we'll be right back, Booster.
The Human Podcast Machine.
Break time! Gotta tell you, there's nothing worse than sleeping on a piece of crap junk mattress. Well, I'm gonna help you out with that. Well, not just me, but my friends over at Casper Mattress, they're gonna help you out with that. A mattress that's made in America, man. Obsessively engineered mattress with shockingly fair prices. And just the right sink when you lay in this thing. Just the right bounce when you bounce on it. Two technologies, they collide, man, to make this great mattress. Latex foam and memory foam, they come together for better nights and brighter days. Oh, yeah. You can't go wrong with Casper. Risk-free trial, boys and girls, and a return policy. Try sleeping on Casper, check this out, for 100 days with free delivery and painless returns. Because, you know, that stuff could get annoying with something like a mattress. $500 for a twin-size mattress or $950 for a king-size mattress. Compared to that industry averages, that's just an outstanding price point. So check out this special offer to you guys, listeners and supporters of me, Taz, and the Human Podcast Machine. You get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com/TAZ. That's Casper.com/Taz, and you're going to get $50 towards any mattress. That is off the chart. Make sure you check out my boys at Casper. Get sleeping the right way. That's Casper.com/TAZ. All right, here we go. Welcome back, boys and girls. And as I said, as promised, on the hook, we have my very special guest, Frank Rizzo himself, Johnny Brennan's the real name. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, what's going on, Dan? What do you say?
What do you say there? So, bro, let me ask you a question. Before we get rolling, I mean, do I call you Frank Rizzo, Johnny? What do you like to be called?
Frank Rizzo. All right, ZZO. That's what where I said.
Bro, it never gets old. It's just, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing what you. I gotta tell you, I gotta go back in time. Like when I was younger, like in high school, probably a senior year in high school, I remember getting bootleg cassettes, bro. Johnny, cassettes. Yep. You remember cassettes?
Yep. Hell yeah! New York Times said it was the largest bootleg in history.
And I don't know. One of my buddies had this cassette. He goes, "Bro, you gotta listen to this thing." I go, "What is it?" And I start listening to a little tape recorder, and I'm laughing my ass off, bro. How did this all start? Bring us back in time.
Well, it's very simple. You know, a lot of people today, you know, they're out there going, "Oh, well, I was doing prank calls before the Jackie Boys," and I'm like, "Yeah, so is Alexander Graham Bell. Who gives a shit?" You know, I said, you know, what I always laugh is because I personally had no interest in doing prank phone calls. I just wanted to get my characters down on tape that I was doing in the 60s and 70s as a kid.
Wait, you so were doing, went, well, you were doing these, wait, you were doing these characters that long ago?
Oh, yeah, when I was just a kid, I was making up gay characters and all these things that would eventually in the 70s become the Jerky Boys and the 80s. But, you know, it's funny that, you know, I really could care less about the prank phone call. What I was going for was just getting these characters because I knew they were really good characters. I wanted them to interact with people, and then the rest is history. And I was doing it only for my family. I wasn't doing this for the public. I think that's why it's so successful, because I never meant to become famous.
That's usually what happens when someone, and you're right, I agree, when someone is not trying to become famous or get it out there or let it become viral, and back then, I don't even know if viral was a word. It might have been a disease. I don't know about a word.
Yeah, no, it's funny, you're right. It was all word of mouth back then. Word of mouth, it's just like you just said. People would, they'd say, "Oh my God, geez, you got to hear this. You're not going to believe your ears when you hear this," and they pass it around, and everybody, there must have been tens of millions of these things burnt for each other, you know?
Yeah, man. And the characters. So you're saying like Sal Rosenberg, Frank Rizzo, those are the main ones you were doing back in the day, like even before the Jerky Boys were the Jerky Boys?
Yes, and the reason being is because that's the house I grew up in. I mean, Sal wrote all of these characters are based on family members and friends or relatives.
Right.
So that's, and even Howard Stern, he said that's why he believes that this is so successful.
Yep.
And it's timeless. Because everybody knows a Frank Rizzo. Everybody knows a Sal Rosenberg. You know, some kid came up to me in Philadelphia and handed me a 1970 Rizzo. Frank Rizzo. I never even knew there was a Frank Rizzo mayor in Philadelphia. And he turns out to be exactly like my character, Frank.
No!
A real tough guy. Yeah. Yep.
That's great. Bro, I got to tell you, I listened to that stuff, and then I listened to it for years. And once I segued into becoming a pro wrestler, we'd be on the road putting cassettes in the cars, listening a lot. I mean, I'm telling you, throughout wrestling locker rooms, your stuff is over and known for years. And we all have favorites. You know, Punitive Damage is one of the great bits. Auto Mechanic, you know, Painter Out of Work. Me and you were painting each other up. All that's like, dude, right. These guys you were calling, these people you were pranking, did you know these people or was it just like random?
No, I have, this is just all random. It's like I said, it was just about me being able to get these characters to interact with what I thought might be an interesting topic or something. And a lot of times I'm totally off the cuff, like Jerky Boys 3, I had calls coming in, and it's like you say, it's made its way into, you know, Americana, man. It's like, you know, the wrestlers, it's in NASCAR, all the NASCAR shops, they're all huge fans. I mean, movies and television. It's so funny, like, people are just texting the crap out of me the other day. Oh, they're like, "Oh my God, Johnny, R-Truth, the wrestler R-Truth, is every night he's banging out Sizzle Chest and Tough Guy." And and I remember back years ago, Hacksaw Jim Duggan was doing it.
Yep.
And I mean, you're going back 20 years.
Yeah, I would call guys nits all the time on the air as a comment. You know, nits is a big part of my vernacular. Where'd that come from? I just love nits. Where's that from?
Yeah, that totally came out of the blue. I was like a little tongue-tied, so I was like, "Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, all right, see you a little later there, nits." And after I get off the phone, I'm like, what the hell did I just say? But you know, some of that's the beauty of the Jerky Boys. A lot of it is stuff that I just throw out there.
Ad-lib.
Right, exactly. I just throw it out there, and later on I say, man, that's pretty damn silly, you know?
Silly. I love it. Bro. No, but there's so many things. I could just speak about for myself. And this came about. I wanted to have you on the show because the other day, I don't know if you know, you probably didn't see it, but on Twitter, right, someone tweets me and a buddy of mine, another wrestler named Bully Ray, Bubba Ray Dudley, who's another huge fan of you guys, because we're both New York guys. So we came up listening to the Jerky Boys. So throughout all our years, me and guys like Bubba Ray or Bully Ray, we would talk to each other without even knowing we're using all Jerky Boy terms, you know, all of your stuff. And so someone, a wrestling fan, was asking, like, me and Bully, like, who our favorite writer was, meaning a wrestling writer, like a script writer. So Bully didn't answer, and I tagged Bully and answered that fan by saying Jack Torres. And
right.
Now, I figured no one's going to know what it is. Bully will know who it is. Well, my Twitter blew up with a bunch of my fans that were going crazy with Jerky Boy stuff, and I'm like, wow, people know Jack Torres? Because that wasn't one of the main, you know, Frank Rizzo, Sal Rosenberg, of course, Kissel, right, you know, but...
Right.
But
Jack Torres was... he was a tremendous character, and he was, like, you know, extremely... Now, remember, this is going back before... When I was doing the gay stuff, you know, 35 years ago, it was not cool. It was not... Because you were discriminatory, you were being offensive to people, and my character, Jack Torres, was flamboyant, openly flamboyant, you know, 35 years ago.
Yeah.
And people loved that character, you know, and he was a reoccurring character, and people couldn't get enough of Jack Torres. So, you know, it was, you know, Frank Rizzo was the guy out front, and Sal Rosenberg... Now, as you know, Sal Rosenberg, you know, but it's like they're all, everybody has their favorite, like big old badass Bob the Cattle Rustler.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're all unique in their own way. All the characters have such great life. Even I got Nikos the Greek or Little Pico, Mexican.
Pico, so yeah.
Right, Pico. There's so many different Jerky Boys characters.
I forgot about Pico.
Yeah, Pico. Get back to work before I give you a beating.
Bro, how about what would you call barrel ass? I love you called some. What's up, Toots? Maybe you call some lady, call a barrel ass, or some old. Oh, you were talking about you were trying to get a hold of what's the guy's name? An old guy. He's talking about Frank Sinatra owed you a lot of money. What was that bit?
Oh, that was the classic Juggy Gales.
Juggy Gales.
Yeah, Juggy is one of my favorite skits. That's one, and I think a lot of people love that one as well. The New York Times actually did a nice article when Juggy passed away. They actually put a little article out there about, you know, Juggy being part of a Jerky Boys routine, and it was an honor because that guy is a legend. And you know, on Jackie Gleason, they do a bit about the song "The Hucklebuck," where you could do a dance.
Yeah, hold on. Here's a dance you should know, "The Hucklebuck." Of course,
right.
Bro, please.
Exactly. And you know, Juggy Gales had a lot to do with promoting that. And there was always a fight going down. Some guy tried to claim, like usual in the entertainment business, some guy tried to claim that he was the one responsible for the Hucklebuck. But to the day Juggy died, that really angered him and it infuriated him. So it was an inside job. Somebody gave me a little bit of the scoop, and I called Juggy as an inside job, so I knew a little bit of information to kind of razz him with. But it that turned out to be one of the all-time great cuts.
So I remember, Johnny, when you called... I don't know if it was Juggy Gales, if you talked to his wife, or sounded like an old lady. I think you called a barrel ass.
Yeah, that was one of Frank Rizzo's classic terms. You know, even in the movie, when I get out of the limousine and Kamal's walking way behind me, I'm, come on, look sharp there, barrel ass. You know, that's an old classic. You know, that my father used to throw that around the house all the time.
Oh, I never heard that one until you guys did it. But
yeah,
I got to tell you.
My mom might be in the bathroom when I was a kid growing up brushing her teeth or some shit, and my father's like, Hey, get out of there, barrel ass. I got to get the hell in there.
You know? What a childhood. I love it.
And I remember saying when my father was calling my mother barrel ass, get out of the bathroom. I got to get in there.
I had, like you said, family members. Like, and you hit on this earlier. I had to have five or six uncles that were Frank Rizzo. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
So, especially being from the Northeast, you know. And that's the thing with you guys, you know, what you guys did, you know, with the Jerky Boys. It was, I think, initially... It seemed like those bootleg tapes were being running around the New York City area initially, Queens and Brooklyn and the Bronx and Manhattan. And then it just kind of branched out, You know, and that kind of, I don't know, how long do you think that took before it branched out and I guess I assume like a real record label came to you guys to do something?
Well, that's why the New York Times said it was like such an incredible, the largest bootleg. Because think about it. Everybody back then, how easy was it to make a cassette copy?
Yeah.
Everybody was making copies of my tapes. I mean, because that was so easy. It was like, oh, my God, you got to listen to this stuff. But you're talking, you know, late 70s, early 80s, you know, coming up with these, you know, doing these characters, laying them down on tape, you know, and it was right around 85, I think, or 86 when Howard Stern got a hold of this stuff. And Howard Stern started banging it out on the air. And he's saying, look, if anybody knows who this guy is, you got to, this is the funniest guy, this is the funniest stuff I've ever heard in my life. He said, you can't drive a car, you can't do anything, you blow snots out your nose when you listen to this stuff. And when Howard Stern said that's when people started calling me up and saying, John, this guy's on the air, Howard's on the air, and he's playing your stuff is becoming famous. And that's when I had to come out of the woodwork, because everybody else was trying to claim that it was them.
Now, well, that's the interesting part about this. So now what happens? You had to have people, I shouldn't say you had to have, I'm assuming you had people trying to come after you in a negative way, saying, well, you prank calling them. Did you ever have any problems? Like people tried to sue you and stuff like that. You had to have some kind of heat.
Yes, actually we did. There was, you know, in the beginning, obviously I didn't get any clearances for anything because I was just, you know, trying to lay these things down for a weekend fun up at the Brennan House in the country. So I wasn't thinking about clearances. But one guy came forward, the piano tuning skit. You familiar with that skit?
Yes, of course I am.
I got the Rottweiler inside the piano. You know, this guy's he's a little too tough for me there, Eric. You know, but...
Wait, hold on. Was that Eric the butt nut?
Yeah, that's when I came up with that classic right off the cuff. Where he goes, yeah, he goes, this is me. And I said, hey, the butt nut, right? And everything just, like I said, everything just rolls, man. And now you have all these wonderful little catchphrases and whatnot that people like to throw at each other.
Oh.
But, yeah, so that's pretty much the extent of it. Plus, they have to prove all kinds of damages and stuff like that.
Punitive damages, bro, please.
Exactly. Plus, in the state of New York, you know, one party is allowed to tape the conversation.
Mm, okay.
Without the other party knowing. Now, different states have different rules. I had no clue what I was doing. I was just doing it, you know?
You think?
Yeah, I had no clue. I learned the laws later through, obviously, through lawyers and managers. They taught us, you know, well, here in this state, you're not allowed to do this. In this state, you're not allowed to do that. So, and what you said before is so true about everybody knowing a Frank Rizzo, because the Northeast, think about it, New York City, nobody's ever heard any comedy like that before the Jerky Boys came out, because it was a slice of the greatest city on the planet.
Yep.
You had, you know, you had Mexican, you had Indian characters, you had Greeks, you had, you know, Spanish characters, and you had transvestites, and you had everything that you could imagine in the gambit. And that's why I think to this day the Jerky Boys is still so successful.
There's no doubt that the Jerky Boys and all the stuff you did was a potpourri of ethnic backgrounds, as you said. And I remember, I'm just, again, the Frank Rizzo thing always sticks out to me, being Italian and stuff, and all my relatives, and, you know, being a guy from Brooklyn and Queens. I mean, look, I grew up with this stuff. And the Sol Rosenberg thing, sounds like a little meek, little mousy guy, but just
right.
Hilarious. And the famous line, I'll bring my shoes and glasses. So, like, bring me behind that, like that and the auto mechanic. I really think people want to hear about the backstory on the Brett Ware bit, and also Sol Rosenberg with the glasses, my shoes, and all that stuff.
Right. It's Sol Rosenberg was just, again, that character is completely based on my mom. You know, well, I always tell this story. When people, you know, normal kids, 5 years old, you know, in the morning, your mother comes in to get you up for school. You know, it's like, hey, honey, come on, it's time to get up. What would you like for breakfast today? And I'll never forget my mom. Every time she came in, every single day she came in the room to get us up for school, it was like, get up, get out of the fucking, my back, you know, my feet hurt, oh, Jesus Christ. And that's how I remember getting up for school every morning. And I remember being 5 years old and saying to myself, man, that shit's funny. You know, where most kids would have been traumatized by it, I just thought, my mom, why does she act like that?
I think you've been traumatized, bro. Let's be honest.
Yeah, but you think about it. I said to myself as a kid, I said, this is a great character.
Yeah.
So I actually started imitating my mom when I was a little kid. And my father, the same thing goes true with my father, with the auto mechanic. You know, that my father, when he got pissed off, Those are two great examples, by the way, that, you know, Sal Rosenberg and Frank Rizzo, because they're both based on my mom and my dad.
So wait, hold on. So that's crazy that Sal Rosenberg was based off of not just a female, but your mother. That is really nuts.
Wow. Yep, I based the character off my mom. And to this day, my father passed away in 2000. But if you listen to my mom to this day, and you listen to her on the phone, you'd piss yourself laughing because you're going to hear Sal Rosenberg. And my father, with the same thing, when he got pissed off at you, boy, I grew up old school. I got my ass fucking handed to me more than once. But, you know, my father would be like, you know, just like that, you know, in a Brett Weir skit, let's say.
Yeah.
You know, look, Jerky, I don't need to talk to you. You know, and that's when he got pissed off, that was his voice, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of, get in here, you stupid son of a bitch. So it was no stress.
Just,
you know,
bro, it's that real tough Irish, New York Irish, right? That's basically what you're saying.
Right. It's funny as hell because, yeah, like I said, these guys, you know, they came off the boat. They didn't know any better, you know.
Yeah.
When kids act up, kids get their asses here. We just had old school upbringing,
of course,
you know?
Yeah, of course. I know, and you've done a lot of work with Family Guy, and I know in our side conversation we were talking about McFarlane, what he said to you about, to share that about being timeless, and you said about Stern saying the same thing. Of course, it's true, the stuff that you've done is timeless.
You know, and I'm very thankful that I've been able to do something and bring these characters to life that are based on, you know, real people. So that everybody else around the world, like I said, you know, Australia, England, Ireland, wherever you go where they speak English, the Jerky Boys is huge. And it's a pretty cool thing when you can bring to life characters that are that either insane or lovable, one or the other, that people say, man, I love that stuff, you know?
Yeah. I think I got to say, I mean, as an entertainer myself, and for the entertainment business, I should say, I got to tip my cap to you, man, because the creativity that you showed back in the day, way before your time, way before the time of what people are doing now, and so many bad ripoffs of the Jerky Boys and prank calls. I remember once I started traveling as a wrestler early on, there was like a southern guys down south that were trying to rip off what you guys were doing, like a southern version, and it sucked. It's horrible. I don't remember their name. It was horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what I said. Now you see a lot of guys coming out of the woodwork, and they're trying to say, you know, well, they were around. I don't care if you were around in the 1950s. I don't give a crap. Because when I was doing this stuff, I had no interest in doing prank phone calls. And for all I knew, I was just making this crap up for my brothers on the weekend. Because I got a big family, and I got a lot of brothers, and I'm the oldest of the family. So, you know, we just got a real kick on the weekend. We're having a few beers, listening to the tapes, and that's the end of it. Then the tapes hit the streets. And when the tapes hit the streets, that's when, you know, through Howard Stern and people like Mark Parento up in Boston, this thing blew up gigantic on the East Coast. And that's how people started coming to me and saying, and you know, it's funny, a lot of people don't realize this, you know, all the people that were trying to claim that it was them, I did those Jerky tapes, that's me. People didn't realize that when I finally came forward, inside the Jerky tapes is all sorts of stuff that is only related to my family, like the famous Brett Weir skit. You know, Brett Weir was my brother-in-law. So
the name Brett Weir is your brother-in-law, wow.
Right. My dad actually hooked Brett up and got him a nice building in New York City. And the beauty of that phone call is that Brett Weir was the superintendent of the building, but he never got on the phone. Had Brett Weir got on the phone, that's it. That would have been shot. So to this day, now 30 years later, we have this incredible call because Brett Weir never got on the phone.
That's a great story, bro.
So it's classic stuff. And just how it worked out where, you know, it's timeless because all new generations keep picking up on it and say, oh man, you got to hear this. This stuff is freaking awesome. And now you got kids. There's these bands out there now today that are going crazy, like the band New Politics. They're on the road and they're making videos like Jerky Boys videos where they're actually doing prank calls, but now they're doing it with their cell phones.
That's a big difference. Now, you were doing this back in the day on a hardline wired phone. Now, were you obviously it was like, I don't remember how it was back then. Like a caller, not caller ID, probably wasn't around then. Was the number blocked or just number? Well, nothing would come up, so no one could find you, right? Because you had to think about that years ago. You didn't want to get busted.
Right. I, you know, the funny thing with me is, like I said, I never really kind of worried about the whole prank call thing. I just did it. I went with it, and I just pressed the tape button, the record button. And I, you know, it's funny. I had an old boom box, and people think it was very technical. It was just very simple. And I actually recorded through the air. And when people found that out, they couldn't believe it. They thought that I had, yeah, it was pretty wild. But, you know, it's one of those things that was meant to be. I did an article last year for Rolling Stone magazine.
Yes.
And in the article, they took pictures of all the actual boombox, all the actual equipment I used. And the article is very cool. If the listeners want to check it out, it's at rollingstone.com. It's Johnny Brennan, Jerky Boy's creator, The Calls That Changed Comedy.
That's great. Yeah, we're definitely, yeah, people should jump on that for sure. I'm going to check it out when we're done with this interview, because that'd be cool to see. So basically, how... What the frig was that? Do you hear that? What was that?
I heard that. That was a little weird. What? Pounds, baby, pounds.
Pounds, pounds, baby. What do you got? The fuck you got going on over there? What? Bro, what would Frank Rizzo think of Twitter today? How would Frank Rizzo handle a Twitter account? And what would he think of Twitter and about following retweets? What would Frank Rizzo think of Twitter? That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, I never went with that fucking retweet shit. The hell do I know about tweets? Frank Rizzo. You know, Frank Rizzo, it's funny, the technology today. We had this conversation yesterday. Me and you were like, I'm trying to catch up here.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's insane. It's like, you know, you got kids today, 10 years old, that'll work circles around you.
They work circles around you. They're nuts. Yeah. They're silly. Yeah, no, you're right. The Twitter thing's a little, I know, yeah, we talked, and you're struggling, bro. You're struggling with it. I got it. I'm struggling. I have some help with the Twitter thing, but I bet you that your fan base, and for those out there, if you're not following Johnny Brennan, Mr. Frank Rizzo himself, or Jack Toss, Saul Rosenberg, it's at Jerky Boys Johnny. And follow right. him because it's a great follow, and I think that it'd be cool for you whenever you get a chance on your Twitter, man, to interact with people and drop certain lines, like not and people read your lines and they're gonna read them the way the characters would say them.
Right.
That's the cool thing about it. People use their own imagination that are fans of the Jerky Boys.
Right. And, you know, I do that with the fans, and I do it. I interact, and a lot of the fans, they'll always shoot my lines at me, and I'll retweet those lines and stuff. But, you know, I appreciate you helping me out yesterday, just trying to, you know, just give me a few pointers and stuff, because, you know, it just confuses me with all this, you know, fucking hashtags and all these other, you know, I don't even know what the hell, you know, I'm starting to learn it now, but, you know, I try to interact with the fans the best I can.
Yeah. Well, just hearing you say, hashtag was funny, bro. You can't help it. Well, it's just the way you talk. Because you could hear, even when you don't break into the character, you can hear the character still in that voice. You still got it.
I guess when you start to get a little excited when you're in a conversation, you know, I guess the characters basically kind of come out, you know?
Bro, remember the one, not the shift, I'm going to shift gears on you. I'm trying to remember the bit, the call you guys made, and you'll refresh me. Excuse me. Some of the Verrazano Bridge, and you called up about the toll, you smashed into the... What was the bit?
That was Jake. He's a moving company guy.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I work for Moishe's, I work for Mayflower, I work for them all, I'm the best. And I tell the guy, you and me, we make a team, I pop wheelies. And I'm talking about the, tractor trailer. He goes, well, you pop any wheelies here, Jake, and I'm not going to even give you the resume. And it's just... That's another Jerky Boys classic, too. Running through tolls, no stopping. You know, I told him I robbed one. I robbed an 18-wheeler down in Jersey. And here I'm looking for a job from this guy, and I'm telling him I'm robbing 18-wheelers and popping wheelies with the frickin' thing.
Oh, bro. That wasn't the sidecar bit. What was the sidecar?
That was Saul Rosenberg.
Saul Rosenberg, yeah.
And he's talking to the lawyer. And can you imagine that lawyer got so pissed off? And to this day, that's pretty amazing. That was a lawyer. And when I told him at the end of the call, well, Ed, I'm going to have to sue you. And he's like,
sue me? Sue me.
What did I do to you? I'm a lawyer. What did I do to you? And I said, well, maybe the people that you work with and handle. You know? And he just... He's like, who do I work with? I mean, by the way, that too turned out to be one of the all-time classics from the first record, you know?
Oh, man. Now, let me ask you something. Now, so that was a legit, see, some people also, you know, people throw flags saying, those calls were all set up. Those bits were all a work. They were all fake. That's not true. These are real lawyers. These are real people you're calling.
Absolutely, yeah. That every single thing, and it's funny enough, too, when I worked for Anheuser-Busch and Budweiser, and I did Lee Jeans and Subway sandwiches, that was always a stipulation that if I was to do any work, any material, I had a long-running campaign with Budweiser, and every single thing I did was just like Jerky Boys. It was all real stuff, real hidden footage camera stuff, and they had to edit it, and they had to get clearances.
Bro, but that speaking was, of, let me interrupt you. Speaking of hidden camera stuff, I recently went on YouTube and watched some stuff you did, hidden camera stuff with MTV, when you called up about the sandwich, you were Frank Rizzo, and you said you beat up Kurt Lauder. Remember that one?
Yep, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, there was a big buzz about that last night on Facebook. A lot of people were talking. It's called Don't Hang Up, Tough Guy. And it was a Sony MTV project that I did.
How long ago?
That was done about, I'd say, 18 years ago. And it was in front of everything that you see out there today. When you see the stuff out there today, you'll see how much people are biting off the Jerky Boys. But that was done about 18 years ago, and it was a platinum-selling video,
wow,
which is unheard of back then.
Wow. I had never seen it before, and then I saw it on YouTube the other night. I urge anyone to go out there and just go on YouTube. It's easy to find. When you called MTV and that whole the hidden camera thing they had with the sandwich, and you were dropping doormen, you were beating guys up in the lobby, you wanted the sandwich, bro. It was funny, real funny.
Right. There's that great stuff in the supermarket where I had this fictitious character, and he would just call out for this guy, Mike, and he'd come on the microphone. Mike, we got a little problem in aisle 7 there. You know, the guy's wearing a blue suit. He's going bald, and I think he might. You keep an eye on him. It looks like he's going after the chocolate juice.
Bro, chocolate juice. I saw it, and then you said something like, don't mind. There's a bad smell, a rancid, something about a smell in aisle 10 or whatever, right?
Yeah, Mike, we got a bad, awful stink coming out of the cooler there. It was just a classic. And today, you wonder, like, that was a supermarket on 86th Street in Manhattan on the east side. You wonder if any supermarket would let you even think of doing something like that today.
Oh, no, it would never happen. But, dude, I just saw that, too, on YouTube. So, again, the stuff is timeless. I mean, and And it's to your creativity and just your ability to make people laugh and these voices and these characters that are in your sick, crazy mind, bro. Talk a little bit about Family Guy and all the stuff you've done with them and the characters. Get us into that.
Yeah, well, Family Guy, I've been there since day one. I was actually, they contacted me before it was even a show. And I read for Peter, the fat guy, you know, many, many years ago.
Right.
So I think it's about 14 years. And I remember Family Guy went on the air. It was on for a little while, and then they took it off the air.
Yeah.
And I was going around the country with my stuff promoting Jerky Boys, and on all the radio shows, people would ask me, Johnny, we know you're part of Family Guy. You're doing some characters. And they would say, what's going on? Well, you know, why did they take that off the air? So I was actually out there going around the country saying, look, I have no idea. I said, you know, the show's great. It's got legs. And sure enough, about a year later, they put it back on the air. So, you know, I don't know whatever. Ever since, it's just been, you know, just think about this. Family Guy was nominated for an Emmy a couple of years ago. The last time that happened was the Flintstones back in 1961.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty wild.
No, it was great stuff. I mean, and you talked a little bit earlier, let's backtrack a little bit about the honeymooners. We just a quick blurb. Because you talk about the Hucklebuck and Juggy Gales. And
right.
I got to say, I was a gigantic Honeymooner fan. I'm assuming you were also.
You know, who wouldn't, man? Who couldn't? I mean, when you grew up, you know, I don't care if you're even today, and your mom and dad, they buy the DVDs, and you watch the Honeymooners. That's just classic stuff.
Look at these sitcoms today. So many, like King of Queens, that's an older show. But King of Queens, I mean, Kevin James, you could see how heavily influenced he was by Jackie Gleason.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you think about it, like Jackie Gleason, he was just a classic. Whatever he did, I mean, you know, I was, you know, a fan of Jackie Gleason. I was a fan of Ed Norton. I was a fan of the show. They were great. But who wasn't? You know, who wasn't that grew up then? And, you know, when you think about it, I always tell people it's hilarious because when I think of my dad, he looked identical to Jackie Gleason with that jet black hair, and he looked, but he wasn't as heavy, but he looked identical to him, and he made the same facial expressions. And I always tell people, my dad was a mixture of Mo Howard from The Stooges and Jackie Gleason, and that fits my dad perfectly when he used to go into his little rants.
Yeah. And again, that's what you said. That's where Frank Rizzo came from. So, what do you think the most popular character? Is it? You know, we talked a lot about Rosenberg. Talk about Rizzo, Jack Torres, Pico. I mean, which one's the most? Is Frank Rizzo the most famous?
I would say Frank Rizzo is the most famous because in the very beginning, many years ago, people used to call the tapes the auto mechanic tapes or the Frank Rizzo tapes, you know, because he was the character, let's face it, that was really right in your face. And so that's how people kind of likened it to a friend, or if they wanted to introduce to somebody, they say, oh, you got to hear this guy, man, this guy Frank Rizzo. But now, over the years, Saul Rosenberg is just as famous, and what happened is, everyone gravitates to their favorite character. Like, lots of people love Jack Torse. Lots of people like big old badass Bob the Cattle Rustler. So everybody kind of picks a favorite, and that's where they go.
Yeah. Now, speaking of favorites, I mean, I'm going to put you on the spot. What's your favorite? What's your favorite to perform?
My favorite character to do probably is Jack Torse, the gay character. Because when I start doing that character, it's like you just go, there's so many places you can go so quickly and so bitchy, if it makes any sense. It just,
yes.
That character lets you kind of just go crazy. You can go all kinds of, like, out there. Now, I love doing Big Old Badass Bob. I like doing all the characters, but, you know, there are some that are just more fun to do because you can get very outlandish.
Yeah, but I guess people want to hear Rizzo the most and Rosenberg the most. But the Jack Torse stuff, I remember a lot of it, and definitely funny. I mean, I what would Jack Torse say about, let's say, Facebook or Twitter? How would Jack Torse handle that? He would probably love the popularity he's getting on it, right?
Listen to me, Raz. Twitter, Facebook, that's just old hat to me, honey. We did that years ago. That's a classic Jack Torse. There we go. They're talking about carving grooves in somebody's head. I'll never forget that. I was telling this guy, I was making up a story that I wanted a job, and I think this guy was down at the World Trade Center, and I was looking for a job as a hair cutter, and I was telling this guy what I used to do, and you know, carving grooves into people's head with Novocaine, shoving their heads with Novocaine, and this guy was basically going along with me and acting like, you know, oh yeah, well, and it, you know, that's a classic. That's another old one.
That's an old one. Yeah,
and the guy was actually in the World Trade Center.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, and I get a lot of emails. I get a lot of emails now and texts of people asking me, you know, Johnny, you think that guy's still, you know, I wonder what happened when the Trade Center went down, you know?
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy. I mean, but Jack Torse definitely, trying to remember the other, what was the other Jack? The real popular one was, I'm drawing a blank. What was the most popular Seth? Help me out. The Jack Torse. What was the most popular Seth, Jack Torse? You're a big Jack Torse fan.
Jack Torse, there's...
Say it again, Johnny.
The constructions, when he wanted a job in construction.
That's right.
Right.
Give me a little taste of it.
And he's like, the other one too, wrap my friends in plastic and for a nightclub gig, you know?
Yes.
And he's like, yeah, the crowd seems to love that.
They love it.
They love it. I remember the other one. I'm only burnt when I talk about how I got burnt with lamp oil. Head, neck, breast. I don't even remember how he said.
You said head, neck, and chest. Head, neck, breast, and chest area. Something like that.
Yeah. So, and I rattled off all these things really quick, and it was just it just all worked perfectly.
And again, all ad lib, all off the cuff, the whole gamut, huh?
Right. That's why it's so funny when you look back now, and I hear some of this stuff. I'm like, man, it's amazing I didn't get more tongue-tied. This stuff just flowed, you know?
Well, you got into the character. Jack Torse also did the abstract. Did all sorts of paintings. What was that, Jack Torse? The paintings?
Yeah, ice sculptures and whatnot. that Jack Torse, that his roommate, you know, that skit is called Florida, New York.
Oh.
And it's one of the classics, man. And that's also one of my favorite skits, where Jack Torse is just in a real bitchy mood, and the guy calls him. The guy's getting angry, and he wants to wring my neck, but yet I'm not the one who put the ad out there, so I'm trying to defend myself against this guy who wants to beat the crap out of me.
You must have had people want to kick the shit out of you for the longest time that didn't know you. It had to happen.
Yeah. Well, think about it. Well, as far as these people were concerned, you know, they're trying to get what I'm selling or what my roommate was selling, and you know, and they're getting very frustrated and angry because I'm not getting them anywhere. And then, you know, obviously later on in years, we, the management, the team, you know, lawyers, whatever, they had to go out and get clearances from these people. And when they go to get the clearance, they bring the phone call, and the person is like, holy shit. he said, I could not believe it. He says, I thought I was in the Twilight Zone. And everybody had the same, everybody had the same reaction. They're like, wow. Including, if your listeners want to check out Sal's Chainsaw Shock on Jerky Boys 3, which is my personal favorite record. It's, I introduced five new characters on that record. But if you listen to Sal's Chainsaw Shock...
Jerky Boys 3, right? Jerky Boys 3.
Yeah, Jerky Boys 3, Sal's Chainsaw Shock. It's classic, and it's just amazing. And the same thing is, you know, clearances. And when, you know, the manager tried to get the clearance off this woman who's in on the other side of the call in Chainsaw Shock, she was like, oh, my God, I was so worried. Because I do a bit in there where, you know, Sal gets up to go look and see if he has the chainsaw, and he trips over his dog, and he breaks his ankles. And he and so... She's so concerned. You got to hear it when your listeners. They're probably familiar with it, but you see how it escalates. Yeah, it's pretty wild.
What about your kids, bro? What are they thinking? I mean, your career. Like, what if your kids wanted to make prank calls? You have to stop them, right?
Well, you know, it's funny. My kids, they just, you know, because they live with me. They're like, I do this shit all day long. I'm in the shower. I'm making noises. I'm making slapping sounds, and you know, so. I'm always trying to, I don't know why, but subconsciously, I'm always amusing myself. So my kids probably, they're sick and tired of me. They probably, you know, oh, yeah, that's just my dad acting like an ass, you know? but that's, you know, and both my kids have great senses of humor, both of them.
I'm not surprised. they'd have to. And I'll tell you, it's just, to me, I'm a fan of anybody that can be innovative, and that's exactly what you were and still are. For so many years, being innovative and coming up with stuff and doing stuff that nobody was doing. I mean, and how you just blew up. I mean, kudos to you, bro. I mean, nothing but mad respect for that.
I appreciate that so much, and I thank you. And I guess it gets back to like what you were saying earlier. You know, it's nobody gives it.
What are you going on back? What do you got going on back? There's people yelling. What's going on? What do you? I feel like I'm in a bit with you.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's another classic. That's Silverman. That's off the Jerky Tapes, and that's one of the all-time classics. That Jerky Tapes is, because fans would always ask me, Johnny, we love your bits, and we love the two-minute bits, the three-minute bits, but do you have anything, like, long, that ran long? And, you know, I had a bunch of calls in the can that I didn't use because they were very long.
Mm.
But, and so I put out a record called the Jerky Tapes, where it's, I think, 9 or 10 cuts, and they're all long cuts. But people turn out and they said, Johnny, thank you. And one of them is Silverman. It's about, I put myself out there as a sports agent, and I said that I could get you in an Indy car, I could get you playing for the Yankees, I could get you anywhere you want in the sports world within inside of a week or two. And you wouldn't believe the calls I got.
Really?
So this one young guy, he wanted to play for the New York Yankees. And that's, he gets on the call with me, and he's so excited that he's talking to a sports agent. And the first thing I say right off the bat is I can hear people talking in the background. I say, hey, who the fuck, who's up there with the big fucking mouth behind you? And he's like, oh, I work, I'm up in the office, I'm sorry. I said, do me a favor, shut that motherfucker up. I put him on the phone with me, you know? And that's classic. That's classic stuff that gets back to what we, you know.
But is that just heard noise in the background? I don't know if it was in the studio here or at your house. I'm like, what's going? What the fuck you got going on back there? It reminded me of that bit.
Oh yeah, I love that. I love that bit.
Oh,
but, it's just classic stuff, you know.
So what's going on? You doing? I know you're always doing stuff. Anything you want to talk about that you got doing going forward, or what you got to plug? Anything?
Well, yeah, actually, I'm coming out. It's funny enough, I got some food. I'm dabbling with this food products, like hot sauce and salsa and, you know, things like steak sauce, big old badass Bob steak sauce. So in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be putting that up at my website so people can check that out. And it's just, you know, I teamed up with Pomodori Foods.
Wow.
And each of the characters are going to have their, you know, it's going to actually be very, very cool. And it's all gourmet stuff. It's not, you know, this is not just some stuff that's just, you know, thrown together. This is gourmet stuff. So, you know, that's what I'm working on. You know, still doing the Family Guy stuff.
Yep.
You know, getting together. I'm, you know, thinking, because I had so many fans really pissed off at me for
stop in my podcast. So thinking, I was talking with you about this, maybe, you know, maybe putting together a new podcast.
Yeah, well, maybe. Well, you almost run into, maybe you and I, we get together and we slap each other on, right?
Yeah, paint up the town, paint each other up, you know? Nothing. I got nothing. Remember that guy?
Yes.
I said, so you got no paintwork? Nothing.
Yeah, no paintwork.
Nothing.
I just got done. I did a great job on my car. Oh shoot! Yeah, no, downtown. Yeah. Hey, painted it with the roller. Right, you painted your car with the roller.
Painted with the brush. The roller. Beautiful job.
So people got to check out your website, thejerkyboys.com. Correct. And
yes.
And as far as the podcast thing, yeah, maybe you and I need to talk. That's definitely. I think people would love to hear you dropping podcasts and just your comedy, your sense of humor, your wit, your ability to, your voice changes and stuff like that. I mean, dude, you're multi-talented. Anybody could make money with their voice or changing their voice or doing anything with their voice verbally. You know, because look, audio is one way, meaning radio or podcasting or phone calls or CDs or digital, whatever. But video... TV is two-way, audio and video. So it's easy to play off of something you're looking at when you're watching TV. If you're doing radio or podcasting or calling someone, you're not playing off anything. It's just audio, you know? And for guys that can be good at something like that, like yourself, it's very hard, and I appreciate that talent.
I thank you so much, and I appreciate you having me on. And, you know, if the fans want to check it out, they can check out the podcast up on iTunes. I've done them, I think, about 2 years ago, and there are 17 episodes, and they could look at it for themselves. And I know the fans really enjoy them because it's me doing the characters and me talking with people who call into the show. But that's why when I was talking to you, I was really... you know, excited about maybe, you know, getting back into the podcast world, because I know the fans, you know, they want that stuff, and it's plenty of comedy for me to still put out there, you know?
I totally agree, and definitely, we'll chat about it, and, you know, I know a couple of people over here at CBS Radio with the Play It podcast platform. We can help you out there, you know what I mean? And, help you out there a little bit there, Nitz, you know?
Yeah, say a little prayer there, Charlie. Just to say thank you again, and yeah, it's thejerkyboys.com, I guess the podcast, it's at iTunes, it's the Jerky Boys Show with Johnny Brennan.
That's it, bro. And your Twitter is at Jerky Boys Johnny,
right.
And it's great. We got to get your Twitter. We need to hit you, like, get a ton of followers for you, and get you doing all sorts of silly stuff up there. You're going crazy. You know, it'd be great.
Yeah, well, thanks to you, I'm starting to get a little better at the Twitter, but my Facebook too is Facebook/ Jerky Boys Johnny. Same thing,
bro. Is Facebook still around or what? What's going on with that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm like I said, if you see what I do on, I just do the same thing that I do. Like, I just interact with the fans. I don't do anything, you know, personal. Like, some people are so fucking silly. They'll go, you know what? I just got home from work and I'm tired and I'm going to make myself a tuna sandwich and take a nice hot bath. Who the hell does that? Who does that shit?
Nobody,
you know?
Bro. Nobody. But so you do different stuff on there.
I just throw out my lines, and the fans love to just know that I'm on Facebook, so they throw the lines back and forth at me, and I, you know, that sort of thing. That's basically all I do there.
That's great. That's nice. I'm very proud of you.
I'm very proud of you.
Bro, what was that one from? I did it all the time. That's nice. I'm very proud of you.
that was a line my dad used on us all the time. If you said, "Hey, Dad, did you see that painting I did for school?" "Yeah, that's great, son. I'm very proud of you." Meanwhile, he never even looked at it. You know. He never even looked at it.
Well,
"Hey, Dad, look at this. I built this bicycle from the ground up. I built it myself." And he'd be looking at the barbecue, and he'd be like, "Yeah, that's great, son. I'm very proud of you." You know? So that's why I always thought that was classic.
Oh, it's great, dude. Yeah. It's great. Oh, yep. Look, man. Well, look, I appreciate you coming on. We got to have you on again, and we'll talk soon, very soon, about other stuff. But I'd love to have you on again, and because I'm gonna be doing some live shows, I think, very soon. So would love to have you jump in. And but you're not in New York City no more, right? You're living somewhere else.
I live literally in
Middletown.
Middletown. I had some problems in that area, Paul. I had to get out of that area. I had some problems with my fucking boss. So here I'm looking for a job selling cars, but I'm telling him I had some problems with my fucking boss.
Great.
So anyway, yeah, I live 5 minutes north of West Point, so I can make it to New York City in about 45 minutes.
That's good, bro. So look, yeah, well, yeah. We'll talk again very soon, obviously, and this is great, bro. It's just a lot of fun catching up with you, and continued success, and let's talk very soon.
Absolutely, Taz. Keep up the great work, man. Your show's awesome, and I really appreciate being on.
Thank you, Johnny. I appreciate it, bro. Thanks again.
Thanks to the fans out there, too. I just want a big hello to all the fans. Thank you again.
Thank you. God bless us all. Say a prayer, bro.
Say a prayer, Mike. What do you say, Bill? Thanks, Taz.
We'll be right back with the warm, cuddly, fuzzy Taz.
The Human Podcast Machine.
This might sound crazy, but I got a question. You take pride in your face, because I take pride in mine. And that's why I am done with these mishmash overpriced drugstore razors to shave my face. So when I received my Harry's.com personal shave kit at my doorstep yesterday, yo, I just smiled. Just the way Harry's is presented, you could tell you were treated like a stud, not like some punk. The starter set, check this out. 3 high-quality German-engineered blades, a pristine bottle of shaving cream, and an awesomely beautiful designed handle to house your razor. All this shipped to your doorstep for free, guys, and it includes a very polite thank you card. Thank you for purchasing Harry's.com. Now that's class. The shave I get, guys, the shave I get from Harry's.com, it's so clean. It's as smooth as a baby's buttocks. The blades, as I said, all manufactured in Germany at a production facility that is almost 100 years old. So the guys at Harry's bought this facility. They bought this factory. Now that's passion for quality. So go to Harry's.com and enter my code TAZ. That's Taz, TAZ at checkout, and get $5 off your first order of the starter set. That's right. With my code TAZ, you get a month's worth of shaving for just $10, guys. That's Harry's.com, code TAZ at checkout, and change the way you shave forever. Well, the wait is finally over. Baseball season is here at last, and the excitement continues all season long at DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, just instant cash, instant gratification. Why wait till the end of the season to claim your victory when you can win huge cash every day? At DraftKings, it's like a brand new season every time you play. Just select 2 pitchers, 8 position players, stay under the salary cap, and you could be on your way to an enormous payday. Last year, check this out. Last year, Peter from Colorado, he won $1 million at DraftKings, yo, in one day. Just by playing fantasy baseball. Hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans just like you have already cashed in at DraftKings. Now it's your turn. Hurry to DraftKings.com right now and enter promo code Taz, that's T-A-Z, to play for free. You could win part of $300 million in prizes being awarded this season. Use promo code Taz for free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com, that's DraftKings.com. All right, all right. That's what they call Dunsky. It's a wrap, adios. So I want to thank my special guest from the creator of the Jerky Boys, Johnny Brennan, man. He was a blast to talk to. A lot of fun. And sorry there was no, you know, wrestling talk in this bad boy. But you know what? Every once in a while, I'll let you up. Give you some entertainment. Let you up from all the wrestling talk. So, but speaking of wrestling talk, going to have the Fantasy Draft Edition tag teams, top tag teams, coming at you shortly towards the tail end of this week here. And next week, I'm going to hit you up with a nice podcast reaction, a reaction to, well, dangerous moves in the business, stemming from the scuttlebutt of WWE Seth Rollins with his curb stomp. So I'll get some thoughts and opinions on that. Keep your eyes peeled for that next week. And thank all of you, thank you to all of you, I should say, for downloading and or subscribing to this particular episode. I do appreciate you guys supporting me. I truly do. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Can't thank you enough. Keep it rocking. Tell your friends and family what I'm doing here. Spread the word of Taz and the Human Podcast Machine. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. I'm Taz. You're not. Thank you and goodbye.